Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Breastfeeding is natural, but that doesn't mean that it's easy, especially at first. There's a lot to learn about the basics of breastfeeding. My guest today is Dr. Jenny Thomas. She's a pediatrician in Milwaukee and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Welcome to the show, Dr. Thomas. Let's talk about the first thing that women, new moms-to-be, need to know before baby comes.
I think preparation is the key, learning to know what to expect and what's normal. I think the hardest part of being a new parent is knowing what's normal and what's not. And with breastfeeding, getting to know what is normal is very important, and what kinds of things to expect in the hospital are very important. Most hospitals will advise you to take a breastfeeding class and will also offer those classes. We are also encouraging the obstetricians to start educating moms in depth before the baby is delivered so that they have some expectation of what's going to happen right after the baby's born. And there can be some planning as to what kinds of things they can work on as a team to get done right after the baby's born.
Well, what are some of those plannings? Should they buy equipment first? Should they, how do you plan, or does the class teach you all of those things?
The class might not cover everything. Most of the new moms in the United States, for better or for worse, are heading back to work. And with the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies are taking care of the cost of pumps. That's a relatively new finding for us. It's a wonderful thing for moms in the United States. And some of the insurance companies want you to get the pump before the baby is born. So that might be one thing to take into consideration. But otherwise, you just need a positive attitude and your body. You don't need any other equipment.
So then baby comes, so exciting. Delivering a baby, so exciting. Not always easy, but fun.
I loved it.
Not always easy, but great and fun and exciting. So now it's time to initiate breastfeeding. What do you tell new moms about dealing with those challenges of getting started? How do they get started?
One of the best ways is to talk to your obstetrician, because what we would like to see is to have the baby go right to the mom's chest. So instead of going to a warmer that is away from mom, using mom as the warmer. She's a great source of heat. And if the baby goes right to mom's chest in something we call skin to skin, that gives mom and baby the best opportunity that they're going to get probably for the next 24 hours to get a good feeding in. The babies are usually very alert after birth. They get to this very wonderful spot right on mom's chest. And babies are born with the knowledge of how to attach by themselves. And this can be done, that skin-to-skin contact can be done no matter if the birth is vaginal or if it needs to be done in the operating room after a C-section. It's quite wonderful. We've been finding that more and more hospitals are starting to do this by placing the baby right skin-to-skin. Instead of having the baby go off to the warmer, get checked, get dried, and then delivered back to mom when the baby's 15, 20 minutes old. That window of opportunity right after the baby's born is such a precious one to get feeding going off to the best start that we can. We also call the first hour after birth now the golden hour, and we try to do whatever we can to leave the mom and the baby alone to get to know each other, to initiate that first feeding, and not to interrupt that with medical procedures until after the golden hour is over. There's always somebody watching the mom and baby, of course, but what we want is to have uninterrupted contact between mom and baby afterwards to get breastfeeding off to the best start that it can.
And what about taking those Apgar scores and wiping and cleaning baby? You said so now that's not as much what they're doing anymore?
No, you absolutely have to still do that. But it's easily enough to transition that practice from doing it on a warmer to doing it on mom's chest. So the baby can be dried on mom's chest. They can assign the Apgar scores on mom's chest. And the injections for vitamin K, hepatitis B, the eye ointment that we typically use, the eyes and thighs and the weight can wait is what we have been saying, is that all of those things can wait until the baby's older than an hour of age. That does not need to happen immediately. And the things that we do immediately can, as long as the baby's normal and healthy and there weren't any complications during the delivery, can all happen right on the mom's chest.
So then how does a, you say the babies naturally know how to latch on, but I've heard moms say that the baby had trouble latching. Why is that, and what do they do about that?
Well, hopefully we have skilled help at the hospitals to help you both right after the delivery and in the time that you spend in postpartum and when you go home. So there are different times for latching to be difficult. It can be difficult initially. It can be difficult within the first 48 hours during the hospital stay. And then when the milk transitions from colostrum to a higher volume of milk, there can be difficulties latching then, too, because the shape of the breast is much more full, and the babies have a harder time doing that. This laid-back nursing or biological nurturing that allows the baby to attach by themselves is not routinely practiced in the U.S., but it's one of my favorite ways to latch a baby, and there's so much wonderful information that we've been able to start to spread about the way that babies can self-attach. Those kinds of latching issues sometimes go away when the babies are allowed to latch themselves instead of us creating the position for the baby to latch. But yeah, there's a lot of issues with latching. There can be size differences between mom's breast and the baby's ability to open their mouth. There can be issues with tongue tie. There can be issues with medicated delivery sometimes when the babies are a little confused as to what they're supposed to be doing afterwards. There's a number of reasons that babies can have difficulty latching. Hopefully, we're doing a good job of getting help for those families, though, so that when those problems start to appear, that there's someone knowledgeable about breastfeeding that can help you wherever you are, and whatever stage of breastfeeding that you're in, so that we can problem solve immediately. There's a lot of obstacles to being able to breastfeed well in the U.S., and hopefully we are getting moms to those people that can help out. That's one of the hardest things for us to do. We have the people who can help. We have the moms that need help, but getting them connected sometimes can be very difficult.
So what about positions? Are there certain positions that you teach moms that are more comfortable both for mom and baby? Is mom supposed to be comfortable during this?
Mom should definitely be comfortable because the baby's doing an awful lot of breastfeeding in those first couple weeks. And if mom's not comfortable, nothing goes well. There are a number of different positions that we have taught traditionally. And what I am describing when I talk about it's called laid back breastfeeding or biological nurturing is a mom in bed laid back at about 45 degrees and the baby placed right on her chest. And the baby goes through a number of stages before self attachment. The mom's sweat smells like amniotic fluid. And the baby can't see very well, but the baby can taste and smell and hear. So the baby will often put their hands in their mouth to taste and smell mom's very familiar scent. And then there is this secretion that comes off the breast itself that smells like mom and only mom. And it's a kind of chemical signal that increases appetite and draws the baby to the nipple. And so that's what we were talking about with self-attachment, is sort of letting the baby do their thing. There are other positions. Sometimes there's a position called the football hold that we will often use after moms have C-sections so that we don't have the weight of the baby on top of the C-section scar. And then whatever position turns out to be the most comfortable, where mom is not in pain and the baby can transfer milk from the breast to themselves, that's the position that will work. We don't want there to be pain.
How do you know, and I'm sure you hear this from moms all the time, how do you know if your baby's getting enough milk?
Well, there is a poop. The answer's poop. That's a
poop's a good answer.
Poop's a good answer. There is an ingredient in human milk. It's called an oligosaccharide. It's in very high concentrations, both in colostrum and in mature milk. And those oligosaccharides they help to prime the baby's immune system, and they work only in the level of the gut. So when the baby drinks milk, they get this very special sugar that helps with the development of their immune system, and that sugar just gets pooped out after it does its job. So the more milk that the baby gets, the more of the oligosaccharides the baby gets, the more they poop.
Parents just have to really keep an eye on that poop to see and know that their babies are getting enough.
I love it because I turn perfectly intelligent people into poop watchers. And I've actually had people in my office high five after the baby like poops because it's such a great signal that the kids are getting enough. And it's so validating for the moms to be like, see, she got enough.
I think that's fantastic. Now, what about some problems that do come up along the way? We already talked a little bit about the latching issues, but what are some other issues? Maybe pain with breastfeeding or irritation around the nipple? What do you tell people about these kinds of things?
If there's pain, then something is wrong. And then there's really no time in our life where we have pain and we say, it's no big deal. If there's pain, that means that the body is signaling that something is wrong, and breastfeeding really isn't supposed to hurt. So if there is pain, then we need to empower moms to seek help from somebody that can help them, mostly with the latch. There's a lot of fluid that's given to moms when they're in delivery. And as long as the placenta is still attached, the babies get that fluid. And so there's a tremendous amount of weight loss that can happen in the first 48 hours. And babies are often getting supplemented simply because they're losing weight. Moms should know that that's a possible problem that could come up during delivery and advocate for themselves. If the baby is pooping, they should know that that weight loss isn't as much of a problem as if the baby wasn't pooping. So everything, I feel like when I talk about this, that everything comes down to poop. But if a baby is pooping, then the weight loss in the hospital isn't going to be a big deal. The other problems are simply that of support, I think. Breastfeeding is becoming a lot more normal in the United States, but in 1972, we had the lowest amount of breastfeeding, and there are still lots of moms who don't have a support system from a family member or a spouse that says, you know, this is important to me too, and they can feel a lot of pressure not to breastfeed. It's important for those moms to find a group of people that will support them, that will be their cheerleaders. It's incredibly important to find somebody who supports your decision to breastfeed, including pediatricians. We really want pediatricians to be that go-to source for mom if they're having doubts about whether or not it's important to continue.
And Dr. Thomas, how does dad get involved in this?
Dads have lots of skin. So when I talk about skin-to-skin contact, it doesn't always mean mom. It can mean dad. Babies love to be held, and skin-to-skin contact allows them to use whomever is holding them as a source of heat. Dad's voice is very familiar to babies. They're born with their adult sense of hearing, and babies know who dad is. So dads who speak to their kids, who talk to them frequently, and who read to them as one of the ways to help with early literacy, those are incredibly important things. There's going to be times that the baby wants to be held but doesn't necessarily need to be breastfeeding. And at that time, dad can be the source of the skin-to-skin. Dads are also going to be important as that support person. The support of a father is incredibly important to that mother and her ability to continue to breastfeed, her ability to be successful, and to meet the family's goals for how long she wants to be nursing.
Now, what about returning to work? That seems to be something, as you mentioned right at the beginning, that a lot of moms are doing right now.
It's a huge number.
So what do they do when it's time to return to work?
Well, it's important to find out if there's been anybody else who's returned to your place of employment and has breastfed, because that woman is going to be a very important source of information. She might have found a spot to pump. The employers who employ nursing mothers have to provide a place to pump now. That is another provision of the Affordable Care Act, is that there has to be a place for a non-bathroom place for a mother to pump. So hopefully a mother who's successfully done that at the place of employment can help another mother as she comes through that, tell her what she did, how she was able to make it work in her schedule. I've had moms, I've asked them to try to go to work part-time or flexible scheduling. If you're going to go back to work, try not to do it on a Monday, but later in the week, so that you can maybe just do Thursday and Friday and then have the weekend to recuperate.
These are all really good bits of advice. Now, what about diet? Because nursing moms don't always know what to do as far as eating, alcohol, foods to avoid, caffeine. What do they have to stay away from? What do you want them to be eating?
You want them to be eating anything that they want the baby to like, because the flavors from whatever a nursing mom is eating flavors that breast milk for that meal. So there's a lot of myths about staying away from, I don't know, garlic and spicy foods and broccoli and all sorts of different things. But so what the baby is exposed to through the breast milk is going to help that baby be more likely to take that culture's native cuisine. For example, I have the good fortune to have a mother-in-law who's from Thailand, and I can't eat Thai food. It's just too hot for my, it's like molten lava flavor.
Oh, man, I love it. I love that spicy.
But there's got to be a reason that the entire country of Thailand can eat Thai food, and one of the reasons is that through breast milk, they're exposed to the flavors of their native cuisine and therefore transition easier to just the solid foods. So there's a lot of myths, and whatever we want the baby to enjoy, the mom should be eating. Caffeine should be taken in moderation. It does get into breast milk, and it stays in breast milk for a very long time. So it's possible that before the level of caffeine drops in the breast milk, that mom may have had a second or third cup of coffee. That's probably not a good idea. The level of alcohol in breast milk is exactly the level of alcohol in the bloodstream at any given time. So if the blood alcohol level is 0.08, the milk alcohol level is 0.08. So we ask moms typically to breastfeed the baby, have the alcoholic beverage, and typically by the time the baby wants to eat again, the level will have dropped off enough for the baby to eat safely.
Okay, so we know which foods are, you know, good, which ones you've stayed away from. You talked about alcohol. Now, one of the controversial things that we hear in the media is about extended breastfeeding, and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends at least 1 year. What do you say to people who ask you or have questions about nursing a 3 or a 4-year-old? What do you tell them, Dr. Thomas?
That's good for you. That's usually what I tell them. Anybody in my practice who nurses for a year, I give the kids a T-shirt. So it's like a little trophy. Like you've successfully made it for a year in the United States, which is not a very easy thing to do. So I give out T-shirts. And if people want to continue for longer than that, there's no psychologic or sociologic problem that would arise in the baby. The immune system components of human milk continue for as long as the baby is breastfed. And even though I live in America's dairy land, there still is no cow here in Wisconsin that makes the better milk than human does for a human baby. So.
But what about if the baby really just wants food instead? Because they're starting to masticate, they're chewing. I mean, what if the baby's starting to push away, but mom still wants to breastfeed?
You know, I've really never run into that before. It's usually a mutual decision between mom and baby. Like when the baby's ready to stop, then it typically stops. It's really hard to make a three-year-old breastfeed. So I've just never run into that before.
So, that's so cool. So why don't you just kind of wrap it up for us, Dr. Thomas, about breastfeeding, getting involved in it, what you want parents really to know about the importance of it.
That breastfeeding is normal. It's the next logical and physiologic consequence of giving birth to a baby, and physiology is important. We should fight for that. But breastfeeding is not easy, and that there are so many different obstacles that can get in your way of being successful. It's important to familiarize yourself with all of the people out there who want to help you be successful. I think that's the biggest problem that we have right now, is getting moms to the help that they need. We've got the help, we've got the moms, we just have to do a better job of connecting them. And that it's important to find your tribe. It's important to find a support system that will encourage you when times are tough, and that every drop that your baby gets is completely a victory. So I always discourage my families when they say, I only made it for 3 months. I'm always like, 3 months? You need to go home and do something nice for yourself, because that wasn't the easiest thing to try to accomplish. So I would like people to be positive about the experience. I would love it for everyone to enjoy their breastfeeding experience, and I would love to see all of the obstacles that get in the way of mom meeting her breastfeeding goals to just disappear one day.
Thanks so much, Dr. Thomas, for being with us. Such great information. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Sayonara.